Hallelujah. All right. So, are we blessed? Okay. We are sharing about faith. Amen. We're sharing about faith, which is very important for working with God. Amen. And for pleasing Him. Hallelujah. And the last time I was sharing with you, about Abraham, isn't it? And I was sharing with you how that Abraham had faith, and his faith pleased God so much that God decided to turn some of his faith into righteousness units. Hallelujah. God said that, look, let's count his faith as righteousness. Amen. Which means that if a person has faith, God is happier with the person than if the person is perfect. Do you understand? God would choose an imperfect person who has faith over a perfect person who has no faith. Hallelujah. Because Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We read this verse that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you understand? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to share the Word of God. May we be inspired and encouraged today in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. So it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible. It's like, without faith, pleasing God does not happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. It didn't say without works. Do you see? It didn't say without works. And I'm not surprised. Because when you read the Bible, you see all kinds of characters. Sometimes, even as they are doing the bad things, you see God is following them, delivering them from evil and so many other things. Do you understand? At a point, you even become confused. Do you see? Because it starts to look like God doesn't seem to mind when people do bad things. But that's another sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see that, you know, God seems to be attracted to faith. Hallelujah. See, even you are like that. Which is that when you want something or when you choose something, you know, you choose it for a number of reasons. But out of the number of reasons for which you may choose something, there is one reason that stands out as the main thing or main reason why you choose this person or this thing. So that sometimes even when you find that thing or that person falling short in other areas, you seem to choose that person or that thing anyway, in spite of their obvious shortcomings and obvious failings, isn't it? Because the main thing that pleases you, that person or that thing seems to meet that criteria, and you make do with the rest. Is it not the case? Yeah. So that is how come you can see someone will buy, let's say, a used car, you know, is a second-hand car, and the paint is gone a little bit. Have you seen any of those cars? Well, Pastor Charles, is your car like that? Your car is like that. Oh, I didn't know. Please. Let me change the example. Let me find some other example. The, When I'm preaching and I'm giving an example, the first thing that comes to mind is a car. Somebody told me one day. So, amen. But okay, it's good because it's parked right outside, right? So you can understand my message easier. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see that really, okay, you say that your car that you're buying should not really look like this. But you have a higher reason than paint to buy a car. If it is paint you wanted, then Home Depot is the place. There is no one who is looking for paint who goes to a car dealership. If you're in a car dealership for paint, you're in the wrong place. Home Depot is where you go if you have an obsession with paint. And you choose the colors and they mix them and they make custom paint for you. And you can take it wherever you want and do whatever you want with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But most people will appreciate it if they have a car that has nice paint. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we don't buy a car because of the paint. And that is the reason why when you find a car that seems to work, that seems to have a strong engine, that seems to have a get up and go attitude. Do you see? That seems to respond when you accelerate. And that seems to want to do things and want to go places and want to climb hills and go down valleys. When you have a car like that and it seems to be bald a little bit and is missing the paint at the top, you still choose it. You still choose it. You still choose it. You still choose it. Hallelujah. Same with God. So you should not be surprised when God seems to have chosen certain people who, by certain standards, fall short a little bit. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, if you invite somebody outside and you say, come and see this car I've just bought. Come and see my car I've bought, you know. And then you take them to the car. They'll look at the car and they'll say, ah, is this the car you bought? Do you see? Is this the car you're making such a fuss about? And that's because they don't know. That's because the element in the car that you are pleased with is actually not visible. Do you understand? The thing that makes you tick about the car is not a visible quality. It's inside there. And that makes you admire the car. It makes you love the car. It makes you interested in the car and passionate about it. But another person who cannot see inside it, do you understand? That person is just looking at the outward appearance and has already disqualified the car. You may never understand why God seems to choose certain people and seem to work with people who clearly, by human standards, seem to fall short of righteousness standards. That is, man-made righteousness standards. Standards made by people who themselves are below it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So the key thing that causes people to please God is faith. It says without faith, it is impossible. You know, it just does not work. Impossible means it just does not work. That it will not happen today or tomorrow or the next day. If faith continues to be absent, it will not happen. Hallelujah. It didn't say without faith you cannot get tired. You can get tired, but God will not be happy with you anyway. Do you understand? You can get exhausted. You can drive that whole distance from the other side to this place. You can buy a lot of gas and see your gas burning. You can get here and be sweaty and all that. All those things are possible. Do you understand? But the thing is that without faith, it is impossible. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot please God without faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so what we are doing, if we're going to please God, we need to have faith. Amen.
Amen.
We need to have faith. Our faith must be very high. We must believe and we must be strong in our beliefs. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Abraham had that kind of faith. Amen. And the Bible says he did not stagger at the promise of God. And he did not consider his own body as weak and old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah, his wife's womb. He had a lot of things to consider. He just said, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. All I see is what God said. That is all I know. That's all I see. And that is all I know. That's all I'll keep seeing. That is it. Hallelujah. Amen. And God said, wow, this old man has so much faith. Let's use some to balance out his unrighteousness. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. His God put his righteousness credits in one column and put his other credits, or the debit, also in another column. And he looked at the thing and he realized that, look, he was falling short seriously. So he said, let's bring some of his faith to come and top off his righteousness. Wow. Do you understand? So some of Abraham's faith was converted into righteousness. And God said, let's put that on top here. So suddenly the righteousness part started to rise. And it started to rise. And it rose above. The credit rose above the debit. And God said, you are in. You are in. You are in. You are in. Hallelujah. That is how Abraham was able to go into heaven and have a place called Abraham's bosom. Hey! Then God must be very happy with people who have faith. Amen? And you see throughout the Bible that God has all these guys, you know, and they all have funny stories about them. But God seemed to be very fond of them. You see what I'm saying? He seemed to be very fond of them because those people had faith. You know, one such guy was David. You know, David had a clear problem. I mean, he was a peeping Tom who would just go around the ladies' bathrooms and then he's just peeping every day, trying to see if he can catch a glimpse, you know, every day. Just, I mean, he was that kind of a person. But David had faith. He had faith in God. He's the one that said, the Lord is my shepherd. I tell you, I shall not want. God is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, when you have someone who has such feelings about you, you're bound to like them. You're bound to like them more than their faults can make you dislike them. Do you understand? You are bound to be attracted to them with a strength that is stronger than their faults can make them repulsive to you. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why we need to have faith. Amen. Now, talk about Jesus. Jesus seemed to be happy with people also who had faith. In fact, anytime Jesus met someone who had faith, that person always left him with something. That person always went away from him with something. He always rewarded the faith of people who came to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me show you a couple of them and then we can bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 34. Let's read from Mark chapter 5. You know, I think we should read the scriptures quickly so that there can be a good flow. Have you found Mark? Mark, the book of Mark, okay, here it is, Mark chapter 5, all right, Mark chapter 5, and let's start reading from verse 26, in fact, go back a little bit, verse 25, it says, in verse 24, that Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, can you see that? 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. You see, this is the sort of thing that starts to get God's attention. Hallelujah. Someone who does not look at the facts and who does not look at the history. Do you understand? But who decides at the that what matters is not the past. What matters is here and now. What I'm seeing now. Do you understand? This woman had had her disease for 12 years. She said, it doesn't matter. She said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long I've had it. Do you understand? Then she had so many people around him. But she said, it is very, very possible. If I can just do this, I'll be made whole. She said, I won't look at the history. I won't look at how long I've had it. She had been to so many doctors who had tried so many different treatments and it didn't work. Do you understand? She probably even came to Dr. Lord right here. Do you understand? Yes. And came right to his wife also. Do you understand? When they had separate practices. And they tried different treatments. She probably went to a herbalist who makes some leaves and some different things and said, you need to boil some and drink some as tea, then use some to bath. Hey! And the woman must have gone through so many different things. But when she saw Jesus, she didn't think that how many times she had tried really mattered at that time. See, when someone has faith, they do not consider how many times they have failed at the same thing. How many other people have tried to help them and it didn't work. How many times and how many efforts they had made at succeeding down this path does not matter when people have faith. And this is the sort of thing that starts to get God's attention. Hallelujah. And so this woman said, this is not in response to any preaching or anything. No one was encouraging her. She was just by herself. When she saw Jesus, she said, if I may but touch his clothes, that's all I need. If I can just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. I shall be made whole. That is what I believe. I believe that I will be made whole if I can just touch his clothes. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Here is someone that Jesus was not planning on healing. Jesus was just going somewhere and a crowd was following him, you know. And there was no plan. He wasn't there because of this woman. But this woman's faith was able to get his attention. The Bible says she reached out and she touched the man. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Hey! And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She said, today is today. Hey! She said, I have a strong feeling that this is my last day. This is my last day. This is the last day of 12 years. And this matter is settled and it's over. And the Bible says, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? He said, I feel something. So who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and sayest thou, who touched me? I mean, what kind of question is this? Hallelujah. What kind of question is this? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You know, she said, I didn't know I was not supposed to touch you. I didn't know that faith was not free. I didn't know that faith was for some special people. I'm so sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I touched you. You know, but I was desperate. I was desperate. I just had to do it. I couldn't help it. I couldn't contain my beliefs. I couldn't contain my thoughts. I knew that if I touched you, this thing was going to end. And I couldn't resist the touch. So I apologize, Jesus Christ, for having so much faith. I am so sorry. And the Bible says, he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. What has brought you healing today is because you believed. It is your faith that has purchased your healing. He said, I am not the one that started this. It is your faith that has brought us to this place. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, it is your faith that has healed you. I see your faith bringing breakthroughs into your life. Amen. So while he was still talking about this, verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Because you see, he was on his way somewhere. Somebody had called him to come and heal his daughter, you know, and he was on his way there when he had this encounter. And he said, you know, this thing is too big. It's too important for me to neglect. I cannot ignore this. I need to help and talk about this issue here. So when this was over, somebody came just before he could even start continuing his journey. Someone and said, don't even bother. The person is dead, you know. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Because this is what is working here. Wow. Only believe. He says, you just saw what happened. If I can get you, O ruler, to the place where this poor woman was, you would have nothing to fear. Amen. Hallelujah. If I can get you to that place, you have nothing to fear. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado? Very nice question, isn't it? Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. But they laughed him to scorn. These people were crying just one moment. As soon as Jesus said the girl was asleep, they just turned the crying into laughter. You see, but it shows how impossible they thought it was. They thought that the situation is such a dead case, it's so impossible that even the thought of a revival, the thought of something changing about what we are looking at, just made people, it was comedy to people who were mourning. Do you understand? They thought, you know, what are you talking about? You see, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Hallelujah. Yeah. They were shocked with a great shock. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what is happening? Yeah. Jesus said, look, only believe. Only believe. You just have to believe. Because anybody who met Jesus with faith always went back with an answer. Hallelujah. I see you going back with an answer. As we gather unto the Lord Sunday after Sunday with faith, God will respond to our faith. God will respond to our faith. God will respond to our faith. Because God likes people who have faith. God likes people who can believe in spite of the odds. People who can believe in spite of whatever is against them. In spite of how they feel. In spite of what they were told. In spite of what letters they have received. In spite of what they have heard with their own ears. God just loves people who seem to believe what they believe more than what they read. Hallelujah. Who have more faith in what they believe than in whatever letter was written to them. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Look at another situation in Mark chapter 10. See, the book of Mark has all these fantastic, fancy stories that are very powerful for encouraging your faith. Amen? Mark chapter 10. Have you found that chapter? Okay. Mark chapter 10. And let's go. Oh, you see, I'm reading Acts, but I need Mark. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 10. And go all the way to verse 46. It says, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Do you see? And you can see, he's not there because of Jesus. And Jesus is not passing there because of him. Do you understand? But now faith is going to make two people connect. Do you understand? Who were not planning to meet. Hallelujah. Because Jesus cannot help but respond to faith. Amen. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal. Hallelujah. Amen. He cried the more a great deal. Hallelujah. He said when he heard that it was Jesus, up until then he was quiet. Up until then, he was sitting there in that place, coolly begging. That's what he was doing. He was just begging. But when he heard that Jesus was the one passing, then he switched from begging to something higher. He said, you know, if I can step up my faith here, I can get more than a handout. He said that there is something going on here that I can benefit from. You know, so he began to cry and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And the people charged him that he should hold his peace. They said, Charlie, cool down, cool down. But he cried, he cried, he cried, he cried louder yet the more. Wow, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Do you see? Because faith always gets his attention. Hallelujah. He stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Hallelujah. He said that you need to chill out now because the guy has stopped and he has sent for you. I see God sending for you in the name of Jesus. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Hallelujah. He cast away his garment because he knew it. I'm not going to need this thing anymore. This is my last day of blindness. Hallelujah. He said, me to Jesus Christ with faith, this is my last day of blindness. Hallelujah. So he went to Jesus and Jesus answered him. And said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. That this was not my plan. I wasn't here because of this. I didn't come this way because of you. But I happened to be coming this way. And you were here with faith. And because I respond to faith wherever I see it, because it's not easy to find people who have faith. So wherever God sees faith, he seems to, you know, take some time to pay attention to the faith and to respond to that faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. And God is going to do that with your life also. Yeah. As you continue to have faith. Amen. Yeah. God is going to do that with this church also. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, go that way. It is your faith. It is your faith. It is your faith. It is your faith that has made you whole. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't say it's the power of God that has made you whole. Hallelujah. But Jesus was trying to show him that the power of God is the power of God is always there. The power of God is like a tap that has water in it. But your faith is what turns it on in your favor to fill your particular cup. You see what I'm saying? So the power of God is there, but the power of God is not just doing things. Do you understand? The power of God is not just doing things, because as we can see, there's water in this sink over here. I am very sure that there's water in this tap. But it's not just running. Do you understand? It's not just because there's water here doesn't mean there's water just dripping and running. That's not what it is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody needs to come here and turn it on. And when you do this, when you turn this on, you'll be surprised that there's water waiting to respond to this little action. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is the power of God is there. The power of God exists, but the power of God is not just doing things. Otherwise, nobody will have any problem. Amen. Bartimaeus would not be blind in the first place if the power of God was just roaming in town and just solving problems. That's not what it is. The power of God responds to faith. Hallelujah. The power of God responds to faith. And no wonder Jesus said, it is your faith that has made you whole. Do you understand? Because when you see this tap running now, who turned it on? You're going to say, I turned it on. Who made this water flow? You say, I am the one that did it. Do you understand? Yeah. Even though the tap has been set up to run like this, because it took my action to cause this to come, you say that I turned the tap on. I'm the reason why there's water here. Do you understand? My action here is the reason why you can see water over here. So Jesus also said, look, it's not the power of God that has made you whole. Just like it's not the tap that has released the water. It is you. It is your faith. Your faith. Your faith is what has made this big difference, that has caused healing to come to a place and healing to come on a day when there was no such plan. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So how many can see that your faith is very important to the Lord? Your faith is super important. Amen. Now let's look at another one. Since we're in the Gospels, go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And then go to chapter 7. Right. Now go all the way to the end. Okay. Luke chapter 7. And let's start from verse 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast judged rightly. All right, let's verse 41. It says, there was a certain creditor. Perhaps if we even go back a little more, you understand it better. So 38. He was in a Pharisee's house, and then this woman brought alabaster, you know. Today, alabaster is hallelujah. And verse 38, stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. Do you understand? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what type they were, Brazilian, Peruvian, you know, I'm not sure. Do you understand? But I'm sure that they were precious, isn't it? And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Can you see? But remember that God seems to have more respect for people's faith than their sin. Do you see what I'm saying? So by the Pharisees' standards, this woman is already disqualified. You see what I'm saying? She has already excluded someone that God is including. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Jesus answering and said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Then he said unto him, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Can you see that? For she loved much, but to whom little is given, is forgiven, the same loveth little. Do you understand? That is why people who are too good, you see, people who are too good, you see, they do not feel that God has done much for them. Do you understand? Yeah. People who are, so if, unless God gives you a revelation of how bad you are in spite of your thoughts of righteousness. Do you understand? Yeah. It would be your salvation to have such a revelation. Do you see? But people who are forgiven little love little. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he says that thy sins have forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Are you getting it? Yeah. Your faith has saved you from your sins. Your faith has brought you salvation. Look at it, that God, the woman, had plenty of sins. You see, did you see how the Bible carefully inserts it there? Wherefore I say unto thee, verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, then he says, which are many. Do you see? Her sins, which are many. Now, nobody had told him about the lady. But the people at the place already knew that this woman has a lot of sins. So the guy even said within himself that if this guy was a true prophet, he will know what kind of woman this person is. You see, and he was right that the man was a true prophet. Only that he didn't do with the woman's sins what the guy did with her sins. Are you getting what I'm saying? For the guy, the woman's sins were a disqualifier. But for Jesus, the woman's faith seemed to drown the sins. The woman had faith. The woman had faith to approach him. The woman knew that if I can approach him, my sins will not matter. If I can approach him, my sins will not matter. All the things I've done wrong in my past for so many years, which all these men here are counting, if I can approach him, there is something that in the eyes of God counts for more than what I've done wrong. Are you understanding it? So it is no surprise that when the woman's faith rose, just like Abraham, some of her faith was turned into righteousness. You see the thing? Her faith was turned into righteousness. Jesus said, she has faith. She has faith. She can be forgiven. Hallelujah. She has faith. She can be forgiven. Because once I see faith, I have to respond. And so here is someone who is now being saved from all her sins. And the Lord said to her, go in peace. You are free. You are like someone who never committed any sin. Because your faith has brought this to you. Your faith has brought this to you. Hallelujah. Listen, your faith will bring things to you. Your faith is going to introduce things into your life that you otherwise wouldn't have had. Your faith will bring you to places. Your faith will give you access to people and access to things that you ordinarily would not have had. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your goodness will not bring it to you. Being such a good person may not bring you certain things. After all, many of you have been good all your life. Do you understand? But it hasn't brought you anything. But I'm telling you that your faith will bring you much more than your perfection will bring you. Hallelujah. Your faith will bring you much more than being perfect will ever bring into your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Isn't that a powerful story? Her faith saved her. Hallelujah. One more story maybe before we close. Since we're in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Luke chapter 17. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. It says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Hallelujah. Okay. They stood afar off. Then they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. That's all he said. Do you see? And it came to pass that as they went, that means they obeyed. They met a stranger, they met Jesus Christ, and said to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then Jesus said, go to church. Wow. That's it. Jesus said, go to church. Go and introduce yourself to the pastors. Wow. Says, go, just go and introduce yourself to the pastor. You know, now these guys could have thought and said, ah, if it is pastors we wanted to see. Do you think we'll be standing here? If these pastors were able to help us, do you think we'll have these problems we have? We've been living with these pastors in town for all these years. If they had anything to do for us, would they not have done it by now? You know, but these 10 men, no questions asked. They didn't ask any question. They just said, hey, where is the nearest pastor? One of them said, I know some redeemed church over here. It says, I'm going there. Another one said, no, as for me, I like Lighthouse. There's a Lighthouse pastor over there. Let me go find that Lighthouse pastor. Another one said, I hear they started one in Rancho, just near my house over there. I am going for the Rancho pastor. Hey! And the guy started moving towards the pastors. But you see, the Bible says, as they went. Do you understand? As they went. Because it's a process. Hallelujah. As they went, the Bible says they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Hallelujah. As they turned around, just because Jesus said, go and see the pastors, they turned around with faith and started moving towards the pastors. Hallelujah. They turned around with faith and they started going to see these same pastors who have lived in the same town with them. They said, let's go. Why? Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said we should go, let's go. This going will be different. Hallelujah. And they went and they were clean. And so one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Hallelujah. And then he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? So 10 guys got healed, isn't it? 10 people were cleansed from their leprosy. Then Jesus, they said, there are not found that returned to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. Amen. Thy faith, it is your faith that has made you whole. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
The faith these guys had healed all 10 of them. Wow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the one guy who turned around to come back and come and give thanks. Do you understand? And it is when he came to give thanks that it gave Jesus the opportunity to explain to him, you know, what has really happened. That what has happened is not so much because of me as it is because of you. He said, you're the one that brought faith into this. You're the one that brought something to meet me. Something that I have a weakness for. Something that I can't help but notice when people have it. Something I can't help but respond to. You are the one that got me into all of this. Because Jesus was going somewhere. Do you see? He was going somewhere. And when you read about the healings, you see that each time Jesus had his own agenda. He seemed to be on his way somewhere to do his thing.
Yeah.
Then suddenly someone brings faith. And the faith comes in his way that he cannot ignore the faith. He has to do something. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, sometimes when you're walking in town, you go to the mall and so on, you see all these panhandlers, you know. As you were leaving your house, you were not planning on, you know, giving money to anybody. And usually they are not even the reason why you went that way. They are not the reason why you met them or you went to the mall. But here you are, you have come to the mall, you've come to this place. Here is this person who is collecting money for Red Cross. And the person holds the bucket in your face. So you end up putting something in it. Do you understand? Who has caused that? It is the person. If that person had not held the bucket in front of you, you would have walked right past them with your money still in your pocket. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are a lot of people who come to the presence of God and God walks right past them with his power, with his healing, with his breakthrough, with so many things because you're not holding out any bucket of faith and compelling him to put something inside there for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And that is the way it works. Your faith can make something, God do something for you that he was not planning on doing. Or something that was not in the big plan. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so these people, when the guy came back to say thank you, Jesus said, well, I was even expecting more people than this. But I want you to know that it's not me. It is you. It is your faith. It is your faith. It is your faith. It is that you did have faith that has brought you to this place. Hallelujah. I am very sure that these people were not the only sick people that Jesus walked past. But you see, he may have walked past a lot of sick people who didn't even think that he had any power. Who didn't either know who he was, or even if they knew who he was, their minds were so cluttered with skepticism and so many ideas and accusations and criticisms and so many stories they might have heard about him in town that they did not have faith. You see, and the more bad stories you hear about someone, the less faith. When you keep listening to bad stories, you pay the price in faith.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Because your faith in that person, in that church, in that man of God, whatever, it goes down and down and down and down. The bad story seems to eat at your faith. And they cause you to be depleted in faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So these people came to the Lord. When the Lord saw them, he could not pass them by. He knew it. He knew that these people have faith. The way they were screaming and asking for healing, he knew that these people believe that I can heal them. Hallelujah. I want us to understand that if we continue to have faith in God, we're going to see great breakthroughs. Great breakthroughs in this work,
amen.
In this church.
Amen.
Great breakthroughs in your life.
Amen.
In your personal life, your faith will stop God in his tracks,
yeah.
And cause God to step in and act on your behalf. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God will intervene and turn impossible situations into possibilities. God is going to turn things round in your favor. Things you have lived with for years and years and years and years. Even some things that you are so used to having, do you understand, that you're even afraid to let them go. But God is going to come and separate you and such ailments and such things. And your faith is the thing that will activate such power on your behalf. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So let us continue to have faith. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Let us continue to have faith. Let's have great faith in the Lord. Hallelujah. Have great faith for the church. Amen. Amen. If you have faith for the church, you just keep coming. Yeah. You just keep coming. Amen. Amen. And faith does not look at the facts. Faith does not look at what is happening. Faith does not go by feelings. You know how sometimes you can have some feeling. You can have some feeling. Oh, if we were to follow our feelings. Feelings are bad. Because feelings can lie to you. Do you understand? Feelings can tell you to give up when you are actually next door to your miracle. Can you believe it? Because when miracles are coming, they don't announce themselves. You can be this close to your miracle and there's no announcement. And in comes your feeling, and your feeling is coming to tell you a whole different story. And your feeling is going to come to make nonsense of your faith. And yet you are right and your feelings are wrong. And yet feelings like to impose themselves upon you and make you feel like they are right and you are wrong. But I want you to have faith. Have faith in the word of God. The Bible says, he who began a good work, he is faithful and just to complete it. God will complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. God is not the author of unfinished projects. Do you understand? God is not one of those people who start to build a house and then he does not complete it. Have you seen any of those houses before? Houses that are overgrown with weeds. And even now, they've even forgotten the plan. Do you understand? Because this thing started so long ago that the whole project has now become something else. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God is not that kind of God. Anything God starts, he sees it through. Amen? When God starts something, he knows he will see it through. So he who began a good work in you, he is faithful and he will complete it. God will bring it to pass. I said God will bring it to pass. Amen. This church is going to grow. Amen. It's going to expand into a big church. Amen. We're going to have many members. Wow. Many new people. Amen. Can you see their faces? Oh, yeah. You need faith to see their faces. You need faith to see their names. Amen. To see Andrew and Susan and Clara and Justice. Can you see all of these people? And Mami Abba, Mami Abba, Mami Abba. Can you see Mami Abba? You need faith to see all these names. You need faith. You need to have faith for all these people. Hallelujah. You need to have faith. That keeps you coming. Keeps you believing. Keeps you working. Keeps you singing. Hallelujah. Faith does not look at how many chairs that are empty. No, faith does not look at that. And if you think that the empty chairs disturb you, arrange fewer. Yeah. Hallelujah. But faith does not look at those things. Faith does not go by how many people have come. Faith does not go by who is new and who is not new. Faith just goes by God has sent me here. Faith just goes by God said it and I'm doing it. Faith just goes by God promised and he will do it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Though it tarries, the Bible says, wait for it. Wait for it. Because it will surely come to pass. So have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. Trust in the Lord. And he will bring it to pass. In the name of Jesus. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet. We have a few more minutes before we vanish out of this place. Stand to your feet and start. Let us pray before. Let us pray. Stand to your feet and let us pray. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pray. Say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, Jesus. Everybody just begin to thank God. And say, Lord, I thank you for sending me, for choosing me, and for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Just talk to God and say, Lord, strengthen my faith. Strengthen my faith. Strengthen my faith. Strengthen my faith. I need more of your power in my life, but I also know that your power is activated by my faith. My faith is what turns on the tap of your power in my life. That I'll see as much power in my life as I have faith to turn it on. I'll see as much of the power of God in my life to the degree that I have faith for seeing it. So I want to have faith. I want to have faith. Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen my faith. I don't know what you're trusting God for, but everybody here has something that will take faith to accomplish. Something that will take the power of God to accomplish. Something that will take the intervention of God to step in. That unless God steps in, unless God does something about this for you, you probably will not succeed. You probably will not be able to do it. Everyone has something like that. So I want you to reach out to God. Reach out with your faith. And say, I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you. I believe you can do it, oh God. Because with you, nothing shall be impossible. Thank you, Lord. It is not impossible. With you, nothing shall be impossible. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for bringing us one step deeper into what you're doing here. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for your plans and your purposes. Thank you for the church of God. And your plans to establish a church, a house of worship, a place where your sons and daughters can gather, that they may not be prey to the enemy in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, that your hand will continue to rest upon this work. I pray for increase. I pray, O God, that you will put in that element, that living that affects the whole lump and causes the flower to rise. Let that living be injected into this work in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have faith for it. We have faith for it. We have faith for it. We believe, Lord, we believe. We believe that you have called us. Oh, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.